And I want to make one brief announcement before we start this next episode.
All right.
Listeners, go to thesci-fi-christian.com. Up at the top of that website, you'll see a link that says The Sci-Fi Christian Beginning of the Year Ballot. Now is the time to vote, because we'll be recording that episode very soon.
Very soon.
Have we been getting some good responses since I
haven't looked.
Okay. Well, thank you, and vote. TheSci-FiChristian.com.
Episode 1046, Top Gun on Top and Other News.
Welcome to The Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono. We're back. You're finally getting a news episode, everyone.
Yeah, I should have went back and looked, and maybe I will. I have no idea. It's been kind of a weird year. I don't know why. I think maybe we've been focusing a lot on Dune.
Well, Dune has taken a lot of time.
In a good way.
Yeah. But not if you're not a Patreon subscriber.
Yeah, then you're getting a lot of time loops. No, we did Lent. I'm looking back here. It's been months. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
The last one was episode 1034. We released on April 12th, 2022. And here we are on the last day of May, 2022. So it's, I don't think we're going to be able to catch up.
Please don't try and catch up.
I don't even want to.
It's just going to be a mishmash of thoughts, prayers, concerns.
So, yeah, you saw Top Gun. Talk about because you had not seen either of the movies until...
Right. I've now seen both Top Guns.
Okay.
So, and the news in question, just to give a nod to that, I guess, is that it seems shocking, but this is, I guess, Tom Cruise's first $100 million opening weekend. That doesn't seem possible.
Yeah, Top Gun 2, his highest grossing opening of all time.
Like, it feels like one of the Mission Impossibles, at least, would have been over that, but...
Also, he's just one of the biggest stars, so how is it the first time?
But, so taking Mission Impossible out of it, so many of his big movies, I guess, were before $100 million openings were the norm, but I'm still surprised, because it feels like the Mission Impossibles would have gotten over that. Which, by the way, I saw the trailer for the new Mission Impossible, which isn't coming out for a year. And the whole time all I could think about was, like, Tom Cruise deploying his COVID drones against these poor people.
Yeah, I don't know why it's been delayed so much. I'm dying to see it. I love that franchise, so.
Have you watched the trailer?
No.
There's an interesting homage to For Your Eyes Only.
Oh.
In it.
Okay, maybe I should rewatch that.
Yeah.
I've only seen all of the James Bond movies, most of them, only once, most of them.
Right.
Definitely For Your Eyes Only.
Right.
All right, so give us your thoughts on Top Gun 1 and Top Gun 2.
I should talk about how I wound up seeing Top Gun, because I had no interest in either Top Gun. But some people I was working with a few years ago, back when it looked like Top Gun Maverick was imminent, found out I hadn't seen Top Gun. So like, oh, the new movie's coming out. We'll watch the old one with you, and then we'll go see the new one. And then, of course, COVID happened. And so, you know, here we are 3 years later.
So were you hanging out with a bunch of old coworkers or current coworkers?
Yeah, old coworkers.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
They still organized it.
Right. Wow. You know, it was fun.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't a good movie, but it was, it was a good time. So, yeah, saw the first Top Gun. Total mess. Like, this is not a good movie. I'm sorry if you have nostalgia for Top Gun. You know, it's a cultural touchstone, so it's interesting to watch from that perspective, but not a good movie. Like, really poorly written. If you're a 13-year-old boy in the 80s, it's probably the best thing ever made. But beyond that, I think the movie's a complete mess. Top Gun Maverick.
Wait, let me talk about Top Gun 1.
Yeah.
I happen to have just watched Top Gun 1 for the first time during lockdown. And I can see I gave it a 3, although I haven't necessarily thought back on it very fondly. But I see one of my only notes is that I was annoyed by how many times I had to listen to the song Danger Zone in that movie.
Is used a lot.
And I said the action sequences are mostly just planes flying in circles.
So what's funny with Top Gun, because it's this famous fighter jet movie, right? And then it's almost as though somebody got through making most of the movie and realized there's no actual fighting in it.
Yeah.
Because it just is at this flight school.
Yeah.
And they realized, oh, crap, we can't just have a movie about flight school. Because the main action has been who's going to be the top guy at Top Gun.
The Top Gun, yeah.
I don't think it's called the Top Gun, but it's like the top guy at Top Gun between Iceman and Maverick.
I'm not trying to be funny. Is Maverick Tom Cruise?
Yeah, and Iceman is Val Kilmer. Okay. And so they have this big rivalry going the whole movie, and then that plot just gets dropped. And then we have a cutaway to a random action scene set very inoffensively somewhere in the Indian Ocean. That's all the specificity you get. And then you have...
Who do you think it was supposed to be?
It was supposed to be the Soviet Union.
Okay.
The enemy in the new movie is much less specific. It's very, very intentional.
Even less specific?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just another country.
Okay.
That's it. So I just like to assume it's Canada.
I like Canada.
So anyway, it's not a good movie, but it has its moments.
Top Gun,
I guess.
2 is still not good.
No. Top Gun,
okay,
2.
Sorry. I'm getting confused. So you okay, didn't really so, like
yeah, didn't really
so
like Top.
Neither of us loved Top Gun. No nostalgia.
I gave
factor.
It 2.5 stars.
And I give it 3. Okay.
Yeah, so two.
So
and
now
half
we're moving
stars.
On to the new movie, Top Gun Maverick, which I have not seen. But
okay,
go ahead,
so Top Gun Maverick, still not a great movie, but it's much better than the first movie. Like, a lot. Which is surprising because it falls into exactly what you'd expect of this type of movie, where it's remaking large portions of the first movie, but manages to do so much more successfully than the original Top Gun. So I gave it 3.5 stars. I do think if you're going to see it, you should see it in theaters because there is this whole spectacle with it.
I don't think I will.
No, I'm not recommending it necessarily.
I'll watch it when it's on Hulu or whatever.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you think you're going to watch it, you should see it in theaters because I think it will be a worse experience at home.
Okay.
Otherwise, just don't watch it.
Okay.
And I don't think you're necessarily missing anything by not watching it.
I'm a fan of Tom Cruise, but not a fan of Top Gun.
I understand. And I'm not recommending that you go see this movie. Hmm. Jennifer Connelly replaces the love interest, and you could cut every second of her out of the movie and it wouldn't make a difference. She has no purpose in the film.
Okay.
Whatsoever. But it's pretty good. Like, it's a pretty good movie. It's not a great movie.
What did you give it?
3.5 stars.
Okay.
But it's a pretty good movie. But you know what's fascinating to me about it? Is that it has 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
And it's got a 4.2 average on Letterboxd. And, like, again, I didn't dislike the movie, but it's not a great movie. And so a movie of this quality should not be getting 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. So as I found myself thinking about Top Gun Maverick, I found myself, the movie was fine. You know, there's a couple of moments I think are pretty great. I think the action and spectacle in the last 30 minutes is actually really, really quite well done. If you like this kind of dogfighting, you know, plane movies and everything. It also had a weird introduction from Tom Cruise right before it started
really?
Playing. Yeah, like this 30-second introduction where it's like, I'm so glad you're seeing this in theaters. We've got real F-18s. We're so happy to be revisiting
Top Gun.
Now
you're selling me on going to the theater.
I don't know.
To see it.
Just a weird thing. So, you know, but I don't have strong feelings one way or the other about the movie itself. But I'm kind of fascinated by the Top Gun Maverick on a meta level. Because I was thinking about it. It's like this movie, I'm not going to spoil anything, but let's just say there are no surprises in this movie. So everything that you expect it to be, if you were to watch, you know, the first 5-10 minutes and then guess what the rest of the plot was going to be, you'd probably be right.
Hmm.
You know, it's you'd nail it at like a 75% accuracy.
Here, I'll text Kobe right now and see if he's seen this yet. Kobe and I go to movies sometimes.
Right. And so it's not a great movie. It's the type of movie you'd expect maybe to be hovering around the 75-80% on Rotten Tomatoes and everything. It's also interesting because, you know, politically, it's a fairly apolitical movie. Like, they don't identify the country that they're attacking and everything. But, you know, it's a much more just sort of openly patriotic pro-America movie without this undercurrent of cynicism, which is good. Like, I don't want every movie to be like that because I think there is a healthy place for deconstruction, but it's like, fine. And so I was thinking about this. It's like, why is this movie getting the reception that it is from people you would not expect that? Like, I saw one review on Rotten Tomatoes that said something like, it's a naked endorsement of American imperialism, but boy, is it good. It's like, it was a positive review, you know, stuff you would not expect to see, especially, you know, this feels like one of those where I'm not surprised it made a lot of money. But you know how a lot, some movies have a huge disconnect between the mainstream audience and critics? This feels like one of those. But they all love it. So I started to think about what in the world is going on with Top Gun Maverick. And here's my theory. I think that after 2 years of just complete chaos in real life, and turmoil, and at times feeling like the country's coming apart at the seams, and nobody's united, and all of this, I think the cultural moment is just there, where people want a inoffensive, by-the-numbers, pro-America movie. And it just feels right. And I, like, having watched the movie, I can relate to that. Like, you don't want the complex deconstruction of American foreign policy or the military or anything like that. You also don't want something so over the top that it feels jingoistic. It's just, here we are. It's Top Gun. And it's really, you know, competently made.
Wow.
Five stars from America.
That's interesting. I don't know what that word is that you said.
Jingoistic?
Yeah.
Like, jingoism would be, you know, kind of imperialistic.
Okay.
But yeah, it's fascinating to watch. And I feel like if this movie had come out pre-pandemic, it would not get the same movie.
Okay.
I don't think it would have gotten the response it got. I feel like if another 2 years go by and the world calms down a bit, it probably doesn't get this response. But at this cultural moment, like, it hit it exactly when I think people needed a movie like this.
Let's say there's a listener listening to this show right now, hearing your review. They want to see it, but they haven't seen Top Gun 1. Is it accessible if you have not seen Gun 1?
So Top Gun 1, I'm going to spoil it here.
Okay.
Tom Cruise's friend Goose, who's his... I mean, not his real life friend, but his friend in the movie. He's his co-pilot.
Wingman?
Yeah. No, he's not a wingman because they're in the same plane, aren't they?
I don't know.
I don't know what he is. But anyway, Goose dies.
Okay.
And then in this movie, Miles Teller gives a very bland performance as Goose's son.
Okay.
And you know they're related. This tells you something about what type of movie this is, because Miles Teller grew a mustache that looks exactly like Goose's mustache in the original movie.
Okay.
But because Goose's wife, who was played by Meg Ryan, has apparently died in between movies, because I don't think Meg Ryan wanted to come back for this. But Tom Cruise promised her he would keep their son out of flight school. And so he kind of screwed with his Naval Academy application. And
wait, now you're spoiling the movie.
No, this is not a spoiler movie. I'm just telling you that's the big... this is what you need to know if you're going to watch.
Nothing else matters from the first movie.
Nothing else matters.
Okay.
It's just the... well, then you have to know about Iceman, played by Val Kilmer, because you're going to... the scene where they wheel Val Kilmer out, quite literally, honestly, because he is not in good health.
I don't know what's happening. I heard he's not
like
doing
he can
well.
Barely talk.
Okay.
So the scene with him and Tom Cruise is really weird.
So they brought him in because he's in the first movie, but mm-hmm. Was it sort of tacked on to honor him or honor the character?
I think so. But yeah, it feels very
tacked on. So Val Kilmer doesn't have a huge role in this movie.
He's in one scene. Well, he sends several text messages, which is kind of funny. Because you can tell, like, they had this whole part written for Iceman, and it's now done through text messages.
Shoot.
Except for one scene.
That's sad.
Yeah.
Okay. So some connections to the first one.
Yeah, there's some connections to the first one.
So maybe
one.
They do have to...
I mean...
or have you told them everything they need to know?
Yeah, I think as long as you know that Goose had a son and Goose is dead, that's all you got to know.
Okay. There it is. Top Gun on top. Let's see that. I hear back from Kobe. He says not super interested. So I don't know if I'll say it with Kobe.
Well, that's
you know, Ryan Strelow from Ryan Strelow Studios.
Yeah.
Maybe interested. I think there's still a chance I'll see this in the theater.
I'm not saying
what really
should.
Sold me is Tom Cruise's intro.
Hopefully that's in every theater, but I don't know. It's literally 20 seconds, and you could probably find it on YouTube at this point.
So I want to promise you, Ben, I'm not going to make you do a month and a half of news. I've been gathering news, so I just want to quickly scan through some things and get your thoughts.
All right.
And I'm just doing this live on there. I haven't separated this out. Here we go. Lucasfilm made an announcement that they're no longer going to cast new actors as young versions of their classic Star Wars characters. Any thoughts on that? Or did you hear that announcement?
So this is like what they did with Anton Elchin. And
Billy Dee Williams and Glover.
I don't believe this.
So you think they're lying?
Yeah. It's just a question of when.
All right. Next up, you have been speculating a lot that Rian Johnson's Star Wars trilogy is going to get scrapped, but they're just saying it's been delayed.
Right. It's that they're just waiting for Rian Johnson to get the hint.
We may.
And honestly, Rian Johnson, go make Knives Out sequels for the rest. And he is. I think there's one coming
Knives
out this
is
year.
Great.
Yeah. Go make that franchise and go with God. You know, do this for the rest of your career. Stop touching Star Wars. Not that it's already ruined.
This is just interesting. Maybe we already talked about this. Maybe you already know this. But they are making a prequel to Predator, and they're calling it Prey, which I think is kind of interesting.
I'm not interested.
All right. Yeah, I'm also not that interested.
I have one piece of news.
You know, here's something. There is a show on Amazon Prime starring Brolin.
Josh Brolin?
Yeah. Called Outer Range. Have you heard about this movie? Or this TV
show?
Yeah,
it's a Western.
Yeah, a Western. When I saw the description, it's got a little sci-fi element, some Western. It seemed like something you'd like. Have you?
I have not checked it out.
Okay. What do you got for news?
Vangelis is dead. Vangelis, the composer of Blade Runner soundtrack.
Okay.
That is sad news. Iconic.
Yeah. That's sad news, but I'm going to move on.
Well, guess who did the music for Top Gun Maverick, speaking of composers.
Oh, did you write? I think maybe you said that.
Well, there was three names that popped up. Some guy I'd never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
Hans Zimmer.
Okay.
Which is always kind of funny because if you listen to a Hans Zimmer score, you can kind of tell how much he cares.
Oh.
Like,
did he care about this one?
He cared a little.
Okay.
Like he really cared about Dune. He really cares about Christopher Nolan's stuff when he does it. Everything else he doesn't care that much, but this one, most of it was very bland, but you could somehow, every now and then, you got a little bit of a flair from Christopher Nolan.
Okay,
so you could tell he cared a little. And then Lady Gaga,
wow,
so she and Hans Zimmer teamed up.
Here, listen to this. You know, of course, the streaming wars are heating up, right?
Yeah.
So Netflix is considering something they've never done before. They're considering live streaming some of their shows so that you'd have to tune in to watch it live, such as some of their comedies and some of their reality shows.
That seems dumb.
All right. What do you got next?
I just had the
That's
one.
It? All right.
That's all the news I've taken for
Gary Oldman, who we both like. He's considering retiring. Have you heard this?
No.
Yes.
He's one of the best ever. I did see the trailer as well for the new Jurassic World. And boy, does that look like a terrible movie. You remember how in the first Jurassic, and I haven't seen any of them, but you know how Chris Pratt did that little handout, arm out thing with
the
raptor?
Yeah.
And like that was, people kind of seized on it. I swear to God, that happens 10 times in the trailer. Like, people love the arm. Make him do the arm again. Crap.
So here on the show, we covered not the real life Space Force.
Yeah.
Not the TV show. But when I heard about the Steve Carell led TV show, I mean, John Malkovich is in it. I had high hopes. It's been canceled after only two seasons.
Man.
You never even watched it, did you?
No, not
I watched
once.
The first episode and never went back.
Yeah. I heard it was not good.
I didn't hate it. I just didn't know if I wanted to invest my time in it.
Yeah, but you don't really hate things.
That's true.
So what you just said is the equivalent of a normal person hating it.
Okay. All right. Do you want to take a break from me just reading some random things? Oh, one last thing. Avatar 2's title. Have you heard about this?
The Way of the Water.
The Way of the Water. Later this year. And have you rewatched Avatar 1
yet? No, I have it on my things to rewatch by 1075.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm morbidly curious about Avatar. I don't think it's going to be good. But
we're not
going to
go see it, are you? Water?
Well, are we going to go see
it? The Way of Water. Well, I would hope I'd just watch it at home. I hope that's the decision I make.
No, see, I'm gonna make the same argument I just made about Top Gun. I think that if you're going to go see a James Cameron movie, like if you've decided in your mind, I'm going to see this movie, why would you not go to the theater for the director who is maybe the foremost visual spectacle director in existence.
Are you inviting me to go with you that weekend in December?
I didn't say that.
December 16th, 2022.
That's my anniversary.
We could go the day before on the 15th.
Maybe. We'll see.
Do you want to do anniversary eve with me and your anniversary with Annie?
You know, I probably should check with her first.
All right.
But we'll see.
All right. I'll see it within the theater. I'll accept your invitation. I mean, I love going to the movies.
I mean, here's the thing. Avatar is a joke. And I think James Cameron is a little bit of a joke. But James Cameron
What if he's in on the joke this time?
Right.
That would be great.
I mean, James Cameron is a legitimately... I don't want to say he's a great director in the same way I'd say somebody like Stanley Kubrick is a great director. But you think of... I hate that the term spectacle has been associated with people like Michael Bay, because Michael Bay is just dumb crap blowing up. But you think of what James Cameron has done throughout his career with spectacle. Like Terminator 2, and then, you know, say what you will about the storytelling components of Titanic, but from a technical perspective, that movie is... a massive accomplishment, and so is Avatar for that matter. It was stories he's kind of forgotten to write scripts along with them, but I think there is something compelling about what's he gonna do another decade later from a technical level. The movie will probably suck, though.
I know you want to talk about Marvel.
Yeah,
and then we can do last news of the day.
Okay,
so ask me some questions.
So you went to see Doctor Strange and the Mad People.
Yeah, the Multiverse of Madness.
Right.
Yes.
Which is such a lazy title. And you did not like it.
Yeah, I felt disappointed.
I think you gave it 3 stars, but...
I think I ended up... Did I go with 3?
3 or 3.5.
Okay, I think... I don't have it in front of me. But yeah, I did feel disappointed, and I started reflecting. Actually, Kobe and I were talking about this Phase 4. I mean, there's been some things I've enjoyed, but overall, I feel like I've been...
So what's
mostly,
in Phase 4?
I mean,
Black Widow...
All right, so movie-wise, yeah, Black Widow, Shang-Chi. So can I just quickly say my thoughts? Black Widow didn't like it. Shang-Chi really liked it. Eternals didn't like it that much, although there were some cool things about it, but mostly no. Then I think... Oh, Spider-Man No Way Home is one of my favorite movies, so that's great. Maybe I should say in Marvel, one of my favorite Marvel movies. I don't think I could say one of my favorite movies of all time.
I'll give you a pass there.
And then I think that leads us to Doctor Strange, too. So, which I didn't like. So, I have one movie which I just love amongst all Marvel movies, Shang-Chi, which I really enjoyed, and then the rest pretty much didn't like. But they're really focused in on the Disney Plus shows.
Right.
I think even maybe in a detrimental way, where that because Disney's making its money now from the streaming services as opposed to box office. So, we've got, I might not be able to get all these, but I'll try. WandaVision, which I really liked. Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I was pretty so-so on. Okay.
Loki.
Loki, which again, I more like than didn't like, but still a little so-so.
And then what was Moon Knight?
Hawkeye came out after that, and I liked Hawkeye. Moon Knight didn't really like that much. I mean, they've all been fine.
Man.
All of the Disney Plus shows have been fine, except for I loved WandaVision. And I think that's the only one I really loved. And then and all of the movies have been almost not that good, except for Shang-Chi, which I'm very positive towards, and Spider-Man. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. It's not like I still... Let me just back up. I still like Marvel as a franchise and the characters and all that stuff. I just don't... I'm not sure what's happening. They're lost. They should have just...
Right.
I really wish they had just stopped after Endgame. It was perfect. It was a perfect ending.
But you knew that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
And you know why they're... Like, I know you love multiverses, but you know why they're introducing the multiverse.
Tell me, to introduce the characters from the other movies, or what do you...
Yeah, yeah. Well, so they can spin things off endlessly.
Yeah.
Oh, we want another Iron Man. We, you know, basically the thing that... you and other people loved from the beginning was this interconnected universe. Well, now they don't have to play by their own rules. Mm-hmm. Anytime they want to contradict it, they can just pull it and still say it's all connected.
Right, because you haven't seen it, but in the rules of their multiverse, oh, just look at the 3 Spider-Men. It's okay if they don't look the same. They can be the same person. So I hear what you're saying. I hadn't thought about that. If they want to have a new Iron Man, they can get Tony Stark from a different world, you're saying.
Exactly. Or if they want to, you know, bring back a villain. Like, nothing matters as soon as you introduce the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's garbage storytelling.
Also, this is just about Doctor Strange, too, but it's called In the Multiverse of Madness. And I like parallel universe stories, although I have a thought of that I'll come back to. So you imagine going into this, wow, we're going to really see a wide variety of multiverse activity. But if I remember correctly, I think they spend time in maybe 2 or 3 worlds and... one in particular for a long time. So it wasn't really Like, I almost thought maybe it would be a road story, which I don't usually like, but right. A road story through the multiverse, not that at all. I guess I maybe had too high
expectations. Can I rewrite your review for you?
Yeah.
Too much madness, not enough multiverse.
Yes, perfect. I should have put that.
That's like my review of Cat People.
So,
too many people, not enough cats.
In the 90s, I'm growing up, I get exposed to parallel universe stories through things like Sliders. I don't know if that was the first time, but around that time. And it was rare to find a parallel universe story.
Yeah.
And so I always liked them when you came across one. I remember in 2001, I think it was, there was this Jet Li movie called The One.
Right.
Which is not necessarily good, but it was a parallel universe story.
Right.
And so
right.
I had fond feelings towards it.
But see,
let me just finish this.
Go ahead.
But now we're living in a world where
everything.
There's so much multiverse, so much parallel universe. It's not a big deal to me anymore, maybe.
It's because it's a crutch.
I kind of liked that it was something that, maybe I liked it when it was few and far between.
Yeah.
And now it's everywhere. Now, basically, it looks like this whole phase, not phase four, but we had the Infinity Saga with phases 1, 2, and 3. It looks like this part of Marvel's storytelling is all in a multiverse. There's been multiple things about it now. Loki has a lot about multiverse. Of course, Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. So I think that's the direction they're going. This is how they'll introduce a lot of the characters,
right.
X-Men, for example. But what were you going to say about?
Well, I was just going to say that I think that the fact that you like multiverses should make you more offended when people don't use it as the actual concept and just use it as a crutch for lazy storytelling.
Yeah.
And there's nothing lazier than Disney.
So I'm so on Marvel right now, although I'm still going to say everything.
At what point do you stop seeing everything?
Well, I guess, that's interesting. I didn't go to the Sony-related ones. So, for example, I haven't seen Venom 2. I haven't seen Morbius.
Well, Morbius is supposed to be quite something. You should probably go see that.
I will see those movies eventually, but I hear what you're saying. At what point will I get to the point where I maybe watch a Marvel movie a year later?
Because two things are happening, according to you. The quality's going down. But then the time commitment's going up.
You're talking about the length of the movies?
Yeah, well, not just the length of the length, the number of them, and then the fact that some of them are now 10-episode TV series.
Yeah. That's interesting. That is a good point. The quality, at best, has been so-so.
So let's say at the beginning,
it's taking a long time to get to that so-so.
You had 2 to 3 movies a year. So you had somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 hours, give or take, right? Now, you have probably 20 to 30 hours of content a year between all the movies and shows.
You think the fact that they're putting out so much is what's diminishing the quality?
Well,
when they can focus in on one movie a year or two movies a year, they can put a lot into
it. I'm not sure I would agree the quality's diminished.
So I'm just wondering, so I don't know if you know this about me, but I like Star Wars, but I've never loved Star Wars.
Right.
So I wonder when I'll get to the point, if I will, where I treat Marvel like Star Wars, where I see everything Star Wars, but I'm not dying to see it on opening day. So, for example, Mandalorian, Boba Fett, I watch those shows, but I would usually wait till towards the end of the season and then just watch them straight through. Or right now, Obi-Wan has premiered. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I see a day where I don't watch the Marvel things, but maybe I just don't get to them away.
But you know what Disney is trying to do, and I do think this is intentional. They are trying to make it so that the only entertainment time you have is their stuff.
You've said this. Moon Knight, I'm just realizing I wasn't that into Moon Knight, and I watched the last two episodes after the finale had first been released. So I watched those back to back, which means I waited a full week, which maybe doesn't seem like a big deal, but I do think that's a change in my viewing habits towards Marvel.
I think the next step is start cutting out the ones you're not interested in.
We'll see. We'll see. All right, you ready for last news of the day? Did you have anything else you want to say about that?
Well, I did want to mention with Disney, that they are in danger of losing the copyright to Mickey Mouse. Did you see this?
No, I haven't seen this.
So, they've had this war going on with DeSantis in Florida, and I don't want to comment on that, but except to talk about the fallout from it. It's like, so now there's a bill in Congress that's trying to, well, the background on this is that Disney and other companies, but mainly Disney, have manipulated copyright law over the last century to keep extending it.
Oh.
And so there's an effort now to put a stop to that, which would essentially put Mickey Mouse as a character into the public domain.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, is this likely to happen? It is not. However, should Mickey Mouse go into the public domain, we need to dump Theo, our mascot, and Mickey Mouse will be the new mascot of the Sci-Fi Christian.
Wow, I had not heard this.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Speaking of Disney, I'm hoping to take my kids to Disney World or Land sometime soon. I don't know. I've been wanting to take them. They've been interested. We watched the TV show America's Funniest Home Videos. Are you familiar?
Oh, with Bob Saget?
No, he's passed away. The winner got a trip to Disney World. And when we were watching the finale here in the last week, they were like, we want to go there. And I was thinking, I want to go there too. So I hope I can have a Disney World story someday.
Man, you better start saving money.
Yeah, we are.
Like five figures.
We're going to have the music for last news.
Last news. Please don't go to Disney World.
Ben, I'm kind of stressed out tonight.
Why is that?
It's Tuesday, tomorrow's Wednesday, and it's my first practice for the soccer team I'm coaching.
Right.
So, listeners, if you missed our recent Wheel of Time episode, I have signed on to be a volunteer soccer coach for first and second graders. Never coached before, but thought it'd be a fun thing to do. My daughter's on the team. I kind of expected there'd be more instruction on what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I have where I'm supposed to be, at what time, but they didn't say how long it lasted or what I should be doing with them. So I found out it's going to be an hour. I had to email and ask. So it's a 1 hour practice. They're supposed to have an assistant head coach, but there weren't enough volunteers that signed up.
Man.
So I'm the head coach with no help. And I honestly,
Do you even know how to play soccer?
I did play soccer as a kid, but I wouldn't say I have a lot of background. I mean, I played, I think, kindergarten through like sixth grade, something like that. So I've played it, but I'm definitely not qualified to coach it.
You're right.
I think coach
is more about demeanor.
Right.
See, I would encourage
you. Lasso.
Are you familiar with Bobby Knight? I would encourage you to maybe do some studies on Bobby Knight, and that's who you want to channel.
So I'll keep you up to listeners, but I think I feel a little stressed because it's my first practice tomorrow. I don't exactly know what's going to happen. When you leave tonight, I'm going to be looking up soccer drills.
And how old is your daughter?
She is 7.
Have you ever watched 7-year-olds play soccer?
I have not.
You know what they do? They go like a herd.
Towards that ball?
Toward the ball.
Actually, you know, Lily, my oldest, she was in soccer last year, but it was like soccer skills, not soccer games.
Yeah.
We're going to have soccer games, but they don't keep score.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of want to keep score.
And so you're going to have two teams. Every girl on those teams is swarming to the ball.
Why every girl? Oh, I see what you're saying. I have guys and girls on my team. It's not just only.
No, the guys are much smarter soccer players on average.
So rude. All right. So I'll keep up to it, Ben. But do you have any advice? You've never coached anything, have you?
No.
Any of your kids been in soccer?
Yeah, they've done a little soccer, but I would never, ever volunteer for something like this.
If you had a chance to tell a soccer coach something after seeing your kids play soccer, what would the advice be that you'd give?
Why didn't you end practice on time?
I'll definitely end on time. I'm barely going to have enough to get through the full hour.
No, just I kind of hate organized sports.
Why?
I mean, like, parents are psychotic. It's mostly a waste of time and money. Yeah, I would never, ever, ever volunteer for what you're doing. Never. I can't imagine how miserable it's going to be.
I think once I know, I'm always nervous for things when I, like, nervous for the unknown. Once I know how practice goes, I'm sure next week when we start practice, I won't be as nervous as I know. But because I have no idea what I'm going into tomorrow.
What are you nervous about?
Like, I just want to do a good job for the kids and the families.
See, I would feel nervous in the sense of, why did I sign up for this?
I mean, I have a little of that, but I know my reason is to spend time with my daughter.
Can't you spend time by taking her to the practice?
Yeah, she was going to do it anyways. They needed coaches, so I thought, perfect, I'll be the coach.
Oh,
like, spend some time with her. I always thought myself doing coaching. Like, when I thought about having kids, I thought, yeah, maybe I'll be a sport coach sometime.
You never want to coach.
I didn't know what kind of sport, but here I am.
And you want to get out as soon as you can.
Well, now that I've done it for Lily, my second has already asked if I'll coach for her someday, so I will.
You say maybe.
I said yes already. So I'm committed to at least two seasons of soccer coaching and possibly more, depending on what the other kids feel.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
And we're the Sci-Fi Christians. Signing off.
Okay, goodbye.